right. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Let me turn this microphone thing on here. All right. Okay? Okay, good deal. Oh, there it is. Okay, I hear it better now. But I'm glad to be here tonight, and got back from Ireland just short of 2 weeks ago, and glad to be back at Berean. And I had a meeting actually canceled. I was here last week, had a meeting canceled on us, but so I was here last week and then here this week, and so I was happy to be able to be able to give an update tonight and to just let everybody know. Some people have asked and things, how things went, and so I want to kind of just be able to give you an update. I arrived there on a Friday, and usually when I arrive in Ireland, I usually stay the night in the capital city. It's you're very tired. I'm not able to sleep on an airplane. I don't know if you can or not, but I can't. And so the first night I usually stay in the capital city there, Dublin, and because you're kind of running on about 30 hours, and I don't want to drive in the rain, and it can be dangerous out there. So so I did that, and then on Saturday I drove down to the city of Cork and met with the pastor there and the church, and the people were kind of assembled already at the church. And we're going to help me get these DVDs out. If you haven't seen them yet, these are the DVDs that we got out there in Ireland. We Tim designed these for us, and they're very good. And I brought one of them back from Ireland. These are the stickers that we put on the back for his church there. And so I met with the church there in Cork, and just got to talk with the people, reacquaint myself, and fellowship with them some. And we sat down and got all the stickers put on the back of the DVDs. And we're looking out the window every 15 minutes because it was pouring down rain when I arrived. But we got them all of them, the stickers on, all of them. And we decided to break up into a few groups. And it was Pastor, myself, and another man together. We went out to an area. It was still raining really hard. We were just kind of hoping that it would slow down. And we just kind of we had some things, areas mapped out already. And we're about six areas, and which turned out to be well over 1,000 houses. And so we didn't need to go to that many areas. But we got to an area that we were planning on going to, and the rain did stop for a little bit. So we hustled and got out of the car and got out, and about 10 minutes later, it started pouring down rain on us again. And so we all ran back to the car and waited, and we waited about 20 minutes, and the rain stopped. And so we rushed out again and did another real quick blitz in the area, and for about another 10 minutes, and it started pouring down rain on us again. And I was preaching the next day, and so the pastor said, I don't want you to get sick or anything. He says, let's just call it a day. And we started driving away, and the rain stopped again. And so we drove a little further, and we decided to stop and say, well, let's try it again. And so we went out again, and it poured on us again. And so we just said, that's it for the day. We got out about 150 on Saturday. And then Sunday came. We had a wonderful time there with Calvary Baptist Church, and just a wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful church and pastor and his family. And I got to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, so that was a huge blessing. I love to be able to preach there in Ireland. And then Monday came, and it was a little better day. We got about an hour, hour and a half of clear weather, and we got out and got out a few hundred more. And but then again, the rain came, and it was an all-day rain. That's just one of the things you got to get used to in Ireland, and I never have got used to it. I don't like it, but it's just that's just part of it. I actually took an umbrella with me too, but that got destroyed within the first 2 days because of the weather there. Is just it can be fierce, and so it didn't hold up at all. And but anyway, so then Tuesday came, and I was planning already on Tuesday going north to another missionary by the name of Keith Hamilton. Him and I have been friends for many years. And I wanted to go up there and encourage him. He's been struggling and having some difficult things he's been handling and dealing with. And so I went up there and spent 2 days with him and talked to him about the DVDs as well. And he wants to get some to distribute in his area. So we're working on doing that with him. I don't know if we'll do that in April, but maybe later on in the summer. We'll see. So I stayed there with him for 2 days, and I drove back down to Cork and rejoined Calvary Baptist Church again. And on Thursday, actually during the week, we had some of the church members came to the church and took some of the DVDs. We took them in boxes of 125 in a box, and I paid just for an extra suitcase to go with me to be able to do to just carry them that way. And but during the week, we had a few church members come and they get some more, and they wanted to distribute them while I was up in the city called Limerick. And so by the time I got back, we only had two boxes left. So I praise the Lord for that. And on Thursday, we got them out, and Friday and Saturday. And we only had just a handful left, like 12 left. And we thought it would be good for the church to kind of have them there in case a visitor comes, and then, you know, we can give them to them like that. And so so we got them all out, praise the Lord, and I'm excited about that. And then Sunday came, of course, and we were in church. And then Monday, I departed and came back here. And so just was a very successful trip. While I was there, I sent out an email to the other missionaries who were around there, just telling them about what I'm doing and just seeing if there's some interest. And we had six different missionaries email me back who were excited about wanting to have part of it. And one of them was up in the north, Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. And so we're going to be helping them as well. But right now, I've got more demand than I've got the DVDs to be able to get them out. And so I'm excited about that. And they're okay with waiting, and they're okay with maybe scheduling it for later in the fall or something like that. But just some good opportunities. And we only had about three or four people that refused to take one from us. And so that was very good. And we got several good calls in, several good opportunities that we talked to people. And so just some very, very good contacts and some very, very good response that we received from that. And so Pastor Smith, who's there, he emails me every now and then, and he lets me know that, you know, he got another contact, or he's talking to somebody, or somebody came and visited and things like that. And so it's been very good. And so I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to the future as well. And the other missionaries are excited about it as well. And they're emailing him and talking to him and seeing how it's working for him. And so I think we're going to start seeing more and more opportunities come about with this as time goes on. I got back, I said, like I mentioned, on a Monday, and I was scheduled to be in a missions conference for Tuesday and Wednesday in Ohio. And so I went down and did that on Tuesday and Wednesday after I returned. And then while I was down there, though, somebody had given me a check for $200, and that paid for the last amount that we're saving for our second 1,000 DVDs. And so our phase two is paid for, and I've already ordered them. And I should have them this next week, Lord willing. And so I'll have them ready to go. And so we're starting to raise money now for our third phase. And so that's exciting, you know, that people are getting behind it. People are excited about it, wanting to help. And so we're starting phase three now, raising money for that. If you want to help, we'd love to be able to take your money. Amen. And but everything that comes in that goes towards this DVD project, everything goes right out to produce these DVDs that I showed you. And then we just give them right away, of course, in Ireland. You know, some missionaries have said they might take up an offering or something like that to help us with them, but none of that is asked for. I don't ask for any of that, and I just want to be able to get them in the hands of people, because like I said, when I watch this, it really opened my eyes to think that, you know, this can be an excellent witnessing tool. And if you've seen this, you know what I mean. Many of you who got the DVDs from me when I preached last time, about a month ago, I guess, you watched them, and I've just heard wonderful reports that, you know, that you've watched it and you thought it was great. And I haven't heard any negative things about them. And so just keep on praying about it. I think God's going to continue using it, and hope we're going to see a lot of people in heaven because of it. And so I appreciate you getting behind it. I appreciate your help and your prayers and your faith in the project. And we're looking forward, like once again, to seeing what God's going to continue to do. If you have any questions about it, though, please come see me. Sometimes if you ask my wife or you ask my kids or something, you know, they may not have the latest information. Just come see me. I'm happy to just cover anything you want to know about that or anything else. And so do that if you would. Take your Bibles tonight. I won't keep you long. I know we did some extra business tonight with the roof and things. But take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I'm just going to read you one verse this evening, but we have several things I do want to say. But I'm going to try to keep this within a certain time limit. You notice I don't say a certain number, how many minutes is going to be. But we'll do the best we can. I know you know that we did do some other things tonight. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1. I'm going to read that verse to you. If you just listen, if you would, please. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." I'll read it again. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." You know, the most important thing that you'll ever own is not your house. You know, I used to think, boy, you know, I can't wait till I can own a house. I want to buy a house. And I bought my first house while we were in college, and I loved it, and I took care of it, and I had pride in it. And I remember I would we had just a small driveway with Merrillville, Indiana, and just off of Route 30 there. And we had a little blacktop driveway. And I remember I would go out, our first year I owned the house, I remember I took a screwdriver and I would go through and I cleaned out all the weeds that were in the cracks sticking up out of the driveway. And I was on my hands and knees just going through. And I took pride in that house and I loved it. But you know what? It's not the most important thing that I'll ever own. A car is not the most important thing you'll ever own in your life. The most important thing is not your good looks or lack of that for some of you. And the most important thing will not be a position that you might have sometime in your life or a job. The most important thing in your life will not be the wealth that you might accumulate over time. But I believe the most important thing, most important asset that you'll have is your name. Is your name. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that I've entitled this message, Your Greatest Asset. Your Greatest Asset. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless now as we look into this small portion of Scripture. We're going to look at some other Scripture as well, Lord, but I just pray you would please speak to us tonight through your word. And Lord, I pray you teach us what you'd want us to know, Lord. And I pray that you would use me this evening. I yield myself to you and ask you to please help me, Lord, to say the words that you'd want me to say tonight. Not the words that I would want to say, but Lord, help me to bring forth what you would want, Lord. And that tonight you'd be honored and you'd be glorified for everything that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was at the TLC Community Credit Union about a month or two ago, and I was standing in line there, and they called me up. I was just cashing a check that I had, and I signed it, of course. I gave it to the lady, gave her my bank card there, and she looked at the card, and she said, "Elias, that's your name's Elias?" And I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Hold on a second," and she reached in her purse, and she pulled out a little picture of her grandson, and she said, "This is my grandson. His name is Elias." And I said, "Really?" I said, "I haven't met too many other Elias. That's an unusual name, a different kind of name." And she said, "Yeah, this is my grandson." She told me all about him, you know, and you know how grandparents are. And just tell me all about him and things. And she had a mouse pad there, too, that had printed, you know, specially printed with his picture on it. And just tell me about him, showing me other grandkids she had. And I just stood there and talked to her and listened to her. But I was telling her about how I got my name. I told her how my father was reading through the Bible one day, not a Christian man, a Catholic man growing up, but he had a Bible and he would read it and every now and again, and he found the name one day, Elias. And I told her this. I said, he found that name in Scripture, and he said, if I ever have a son, I want to name him Elias. And as I grew up, I never liked my name. My name was different, you know. I wanted to have a name like other people had, you know, where there were, you know, three or like Tim. You know, there's three or four Tims in the room, or Bill or Bob or Matt or something like that. I mean, that's what I wanted, but I had Elias. You know, every time I had to say my name, I had to spell it for people. And when I told my last name, they always spelled it with a K. And so I had to spell my last name too. And so it just was a different name. But later on, as I got saved and I realized, you know, that this is the name God gave me. And this is the name that God wanted me to have. And I began to realize there's some significance in a name. And I want to just read you a few lines here. You know, when your name is mentioned, what connotation does it bring to the hearer's mind? When someone mentions your name, what do people think about your name when they hear it? Not specifically the name, but think about when they think about you. What do they think about? Do they think, he's lied in the past, so he's probably lying right now? Or he's not been honest in the past, so he's not an honest person. He's got a bad reputation. When they hear that name, a specific name, do they think something positive? Or they think something negative. When your name's mentioned, do people giggle and remember maybe foolish things that you've done and foolish decisions that you've made? Or do they think of maybe some good things, some positive things, or think of professionalism or something like that? Are you branded as a cheater, maybe, perhaps, because you were caught cheating on a test in school one day, and you've never been able to shake that from your life, from your name? When the word hard worker, the words hard worker is mentioned, do people think about your name? I like the quote that Abraham Lincoln said one time. He said, you know, when he had mentioned about hard work, he said, when opportunity knocks, most people don't answer the door because opportunity is dressed in work clothes. Isn't that good? Think about that. When opportunity knocks, most people don't answer the door because opportunity is dressed in work clothes. You know, I've always looked at my father was a very hard worker. And when I think about my dad, that's what I think about. I think about hard worker. Was he perfect? No. Did he have faults? He sure did. Were there some negative things I can think about as well? Oh, yeah, I could think of some negative things. But when I think about my dad, when I think about his name, I think about faithful, hard worker. He worked 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and he didn't take vacation days every year for 20 years. I remember him taking maybe one or two vacation days because he just was way too tired to go to work. And I think about hard worker. You know, are you thought of positively because you care about people or you care about souls? Or when people think about your name, do they think, oh, they don't care? Do they think bus route? Do they think soul winning? Do they think a positive ministry type things? Or do they think, oh, nothing? They don't maybe not have much thoughts as far as ministry goes. What we do and say usually burns an impression on someone's mind of what they think we are or what they think of us and our character. And it's not fair. You think, boy, you know, I did something and I made a mistake. Boy, that shouldn't stick with me the rest of my life. And I agree. I've had mistakes. I've done things when I was a teenager. I wish I could forget. I wish I could go back and change, but I can't. And those kinds of things shouldn't stick with you. But you know, those kind of things, they brand you. They turn you into who you are. They make you to who you are. Scripture mentions in Scripture the Lord. The word name is used many times. But most of the time, it's used for God's name. And we all know that God has many different names. And all throughout Scripture, all throughout the Bible, God has earned respect from other people because of His name, because of who He is. You can take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter number 8. Turn to Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 9. I want to just show you a verse right here. And if you would, keep your Bibles open. We're going to move quickly if we can tonight. Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 9. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And the Lord's name is excellent. Amen. I mean, you think about who the Lord is. He is excellent. You think about all the different names that he has. We're going to look at a few of them in just a little bit. But boy, his name is excellent. There's no blemish. There's no negative connotation. When you think about God, you think about his faithfulness. You think about his holiness, his purity, his righteousness, all the different things about God. There's no blemish. There's no, well, he that one time there, he didn't do right. That one time there, boy, he made a mistake. There's no mistakes that God ever made. And his name is excellent all the way through Scripture. No matter who came across his name, even his enemies, they had to agree, the Lord, his name is excellent. The Lord is Lord. The Lord is God. And he's proven it throughout the earth. But I want to look at a few names tonight, and I want to just talk to you a little bit after that about our names. The first thing I want to look at is the name Elohim. The name Elohim means the word God, but it's in reference to God's power and his might. Boy, you know, we'd have to agree tonight that God is powerful, amen, and God is mighty, amen. And God Elohim, he is powerful. And no matter what he's up against, he's going to win, amen. I mean, it doesn't matter who the enemy is. It doesn't matter how many there are. It doesn't matter. God's not outnumbered, amen. He is powerful and he is mighty. We'll move on quickly. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, David said in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A shepherd is everything to the sheep. Amen? You think about that. David was a shepherd, and he would take care of the sheep on the side of the mountain. He would take them out to a field, and he would watch after them. He would care for them. And to the sheep, that shepherd was everything. The shepherd took care of every need he had. He protected them. He protected the sheep. He watched over them. He made sure they had food to eat. They had a lot of grass to kind of graze over for some time. And they had water nearby. He made sure that there was going to be no wolves or other animals come in to be able to attack and to be able to hurt and take away the sheep. He watched over the sheep. He took care of the sheep. And he knew the sheep. And David was a shepherd. He understood this. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me. He takes care of me. He takes care of my food. He takes care of my water. He protects me. He keeps a hedge about me. He is there for me. He takes care of everything." Just like when I was a shepherd and I was taking care of the sheep. And I would think to myself that I believe that David did this. He looked back many times on the day that he was a shepherd and he would take care of the sheep, and he would have the sheep perhaps corralled a little closer to him at night and maybe under a tree or something. And he would maybe try to get in a few winks and get a little sleep. And he would close his eyes and maybe have his staff there in case a wolf or something came by to scare it off. And he'd close his eyes and he would hear the sheep. He'd hear them moving around, and he'd hear them maybe, I don't know if they made sounds at night or sleeping or snore. I don't know, do sheep snore? I don't know if they do or not. But I mean, he knew the sheep and he knew their sound. He knew them. He knew all about them. He had been around them all day. He'd been around them for weeks and months and who knows how long. And he knew them. I believe he could close his eyes and he could hear the sheep and he know they're okay. But boy, if he heard a little something different, heard them stir a little bit, he might think, boy, there's some danger. Boy, there's something that's going on. Maybe they see something, they sense something nearby that maybe is going to hurt them. And he would open his eyes and look about. But he would sense that they're okay or if they're not okay. Kind of like we are, you know, as parents, men and women, we're different, of course. You women, you're tuned into different things, and men, we're tuned into different things. And I remember when my wife and I, we had our first child, Joshua, and I can't believe he's 20 years old now. I can't believe that. It's been so long. But I remember we had him, and of course, you know, when you live at home, you're used to the house, and you're used to the different sounds the house makes, and maybe on a windy night, you're used to maybe a door rattling or a window rattling, or you're used to creaks and sounds and things like that in the house. Unless you just moved into a house, they're all new sounds, and every little sound kind of scares the wife, right? And you think somebody's breaking in or something. But over time, you learn that that sound is this, or that sound is that. And I remember when our son was first born, we had him in the house, and every little sound that he made, she would jump up out of bed and go check on him, make sure he's okay, you know, and just worried that he was rolled over the wrong way, or he couldn't breathe, or he had a blanket wrapped around his head, or I don't know what she just worried about everything. But as time moved on, she began to realize, oh, when he makes that sound, that's okay. When he's just cooing, or he's just making this sound or that, he's okay. It's normal, you know. And so a woman is more in tune to that kind of thing. And you know, I don't care. If my son's making noise at night, I don't care. I'm not paying attention. But you know, she's paying attention, and she'll jump up and take care of it. But you know, I'm not tuned into those sounds. But the tunes that the sounds I'm tuned into is like. My wife would hear something. This has happened the other day. She heard something. She said, "What's that?" And she said, "There's something downstairs. I know there's something downstairs." I said, "There's nothing downstairs. It's okay." And she said, she lay down and she said, "It heard it again." She said, "There's something downstairs. I know it. And so I had to get up and go downstairs and figure out what it was. And what I had was I had just put in a little dorm refrigerator. You know, those little dorm square ones like that. And I just put one in, and it was making some sounds that she wasn't used to. And so I came back up and said, "It's okay. It's just the little refrigerator we just put in. It's all right." And so she said, "Okay." But, you know, I knew it was okay. And I'm used to hearing maybe the door creak, and I'll know it's okay. And I'll hear the sump pump come on, and I'll know that's okay. It's just a sump pump. It's all right. I remember when I was growing up, my father and I, we stayed up late at night. And we would watch horror films. I'll just tell you. And we would watch Frankenstein. We watch all those kinds of shows. You know, real cheesy with cheesy masks. You know, and just real goofy. But we'd stay up late at night. We watched The Late Show. And after that, we'd watch The Late Late Show. And we'd be out to about 2 o'clock in the morning on the weekend. And many times we just would fall asleep there in the living room. And we'd turn the TV off. and after the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, and all that, and we just turn it off, and then we just would fall asleep there in the living room. And I remember my father one time, he jumped up and he said, "There's somebody walking around in the driveway." I said, "What?" He said, "There's somebody walking around in the driveway, the gravel driveway." And sure enough, he grabbed a flashlight, looked, stuck his head out there and flashed it, and there was somebody standing out in our driveway. And just they're looking at our car. I don't know why. There's a piece of junk. I don't know why they're looking at our car. But you know, he scared them off. He was tuned in to those kinds of things. And I think David was tuned in to the sound of the sheep to know they're all right. He was everything. Without David, those sheep would have died out there. A wolf would have come. He wouldn't have had any protection. And you know what? The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord, He watches over us. He knows our son. You know, when we don't know what to say, sometimes we just weep. Or we just cry. We just make a sound. God knows what that means. And He takes care of us. Jehovah Rohi. The next name, Jehovah Shammah, means the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Where? Where's the Lord? He's there. You mean over there? Yeah, He's there. And there, and there, and there. And He's everywhere. Wherever you need Him to be, that's where He is. You know, if you're sick at home, He's there with you. If you're home and you're worried, or if you're worried about something in life, you know, He's there as well. Jehovah Shammah. If you're tired and you're just stressed out or whatever, He's there with you as well. If you're doubting, He's there. If you've got bills to pay and you don't know how to do it, you don't know how you're going to come up with this money for these things, He's there. If you got troubles, He's there. If you got fears, He's there. If you're unemployed or you're needing another job or something like that, you know, He knows and He's there. Jehovah Shammah. You know, and all these names, as we look at them, God has earned the respect of how excellent is thy name. How excellent is the name of the Lord. He has earned respect, and He has earned these names that we're going through right now. Next one, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. The Lord our healer. You know, this is when Moses was coming out of bringing the people out of Babylon and bringing them into the wilderness, and sometime later, of course, they went into the Promised Land. But they were coming into the wilderness, and the armies, the Babylonian armies, were just defeated, and of course with the Red Sea and everything, and God was speaking to the Israelites, and He was saying He will not place the Egyptian diseases on them. Did I say Babylon? I'm sorry. But He said He'll not put the diseases on them. And he told that to Moses that Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, you know, the Lord our He is there. He's there to heal, and He can heal. And we can see many places in Scripture where He's done so. The next name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. Boy, without the Lord, we wouldn't have anything. Amen. We wouldn't be able to stand on anything. We wouldn't be able. We're not gonna have any chance to go to heaven only because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We've got to move on here. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And hey, how many times has the Lord provided? How many times has He miraculously provided for us? Maybe at the last minute, like He did for Abraham when Abraham's about to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, and he raises the knife to be able to sacrifice his son, and he looks over and there's a ram in the thicket. At the last second, God provided. And that's where that name comes from. Jehovah Jireh, Abraham called Him that the Lord will provide. And the Lord did provide for him, and He provides for us. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner. Once again, Moses, and they're fighting the Amalekites, and Joshua's taking the men in to be able to fight the Amalekites there. And Moses goes up on the mountain, and with him is Aaron and Hur. And I almost said Ben-Hur, and Charlton Heston up there with him, and so Moses up there with Aaron and Hur, and when Moses raises his arms like that, and the Israelites would win, and when his arms grew out, he got tired. Of course, the Amalekites would win, and what happened? Of course, Aaron raised his hand, and Hur raised his hand, and while his hands were raised, the Israelites were winning, and they won the battle, and that. Right there is where the name Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Raise him up saying, the Lord is my banner. The Lord's over me. The Lord is my banner. And then next, the last name I want to talk about tonight is Jehovah Sabbath. Jehovah Sabbath, which talks about God's holiness. Holiness. Isaiah, we preacher just talked about this a few weeks ago. When Isaiah got a vision of God after King Uzziah died, Jehovah Sabbath, as Isaiah looked and saw the angels in heaven, one angel flying about saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And boy, Jehovah is holy, amen. And you think about his holiness, you think about heaven, you think about how perfect and wonderful it is there. And it brings me back to that verse we looked at just a moment ago, Psalms 8, verse 9. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And you know, we could have gone through several other names, many other names, and many other things that the Lord's called. And we can go through this for months, actually. But you know, I just want to just remind you that the name of the Lord, how excellent is his name. And you know, I think about that. As I think about that, I think about one more thing. And I think about when we became a Christian, we took on his name. We took on the name of Jesus Christ. We took on the name of Christian, of Christ. And, you know, on February 28, 1990, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And the most important day of my life, I guarantee. And I look back on that day and I realize I turned from my life, I turned to his. I turned from darkness, I turned to light. I turned from serving myself to serving God. And I took on his name. I had my name, the name that man had given me, but now I have another name. I have a better name. I have the name of Christ, a Christian. And I think to myself, you know, I don't want to bring shame to that name. I want to lift up that name. I want that name to be honored and glorified, not for me, not for my sake, but for his sake, because of all the wonderful things that he's done. Because he's righteous, because he's holy, because he is the provider, because he is the healer, because he's all those things that we talked about and many more things that we don't have time to look into. But I want to just mention tonight three things quickly. It's 5 minutes after right now, I believe. 5 minutes after, we should be done in 10 minutes. If you just listen to me real quickly. Number one, I want to just mention three statements. And they're not nothing new, I don't believe. And they're just something that God spoke to my heart about one evening. And I want to be able to share with you tonight. Number one, the Bible says the reputation your name brings is of great value. Boy, the reputation your name brings for Christ is of great value. Proverbs 22:1, we looked at that at the very beginning. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Boy, a good name is rather to be chosen. Boy, you know, so many people are out there just running after riches, running after what they can accumulate, running after a nicer home or a nicer car or possessions or whatever it might be, and trying to keep up with the Joneses, like we say. But, you know, the scripture says a good name is rather to be chosen than all those things. A good name. You know, and I think about good men in scripture, and I just wrote down a few here. We won't look at all of them, but I think about David. And once again, not a perfect man, not a man that is without flaw. You know, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And you think about David, yeah, he's got some things that he's done wrong. He's got some blemishes that maybe that he would probably wouldn't want to have there. But, you know, in the very end, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine that being said? That would be such an honor to be able to hear those names, a man after God's own heart. What an incredible, incredible testimony. Noah, a man that stood against the masses, stood against everybody. Everybody was the world is in the worst situation it's ever been. And God looked down and he said for his family that only ones are going to survive and everybody else is going to perish. Everybody else is going to be gone. And Noah stood and obeyed and did what God wanted him to do against what everybody was against him other than his family. His family trusted him. His family followed him. But boy, I imagine people made fun of him. I imagine people laughed at him. I imagine people ridiculed him. And he took that because he wanted to obey God. Was he perfect? No. Did he have some flaws and some negative things on his life? Sure. But in the end, he's a man who stood against the odds and stood for God. I think about Abraham. Once again, we talked about him just a moment ago, a man who had faith to follow God and do whatever God wanted him to do. He obeyed and did what God wanted him to do, a man of faith, A man who, when God said, I want you to take your son, your only begotten son, and I want you to take him on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. The Bible says he got up early the next day. Early, and he did it. And he took him up there, and God provided for him. Boy, so I think about men like that. David, Noah, Abraham. I think about Daniel. Boy, you think about Daniel, and he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He said, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to do right no matter what's going to come. Well, we're going to throw you in lions then, Daniel. We're going to throw you in there and you're going to be eaten up. And Daniel said, you know, if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. But I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. And he stood and did right and went into the lion's den. But God held back the mouths of the lion. Amen. What a testimony of these men. And we can look at Paul. We can look at Job. We can look at so many other people. But I just want to remind you, you know, that the Bible says our reputation can bring, has a great value to God. And it can bring so much to the testimony of Jesus Christ. What are we seeking with our names today? Are we seeking to make a name for ourselves, or are we seeking to make a name for God? You know, I don't want to be looked back on later on. I mean, 100 years from now, we'll all be gone. 100 years from now, everybody in here is going to be gone. You know, and they'll write something on your tombstone or your headstone, whatever they call it these days. They'll put it in. They'll put your name in there, of course, in a year. Maybe they'll write something on in there about it. I think Dr. Howes, his says soul winner, husband, father. I don't know what else. But, I mean, to be known as a soul winner, to be known as a man that loves God, a woman that loves God, a woman that is the Holy Spirit of the home. What a testimony that would be to be able to have that said. Not ask you tonight. Ask yourself, what is your name, the name of Christian? What does that bring into God? How are you, is it looked at as positive, or is it looked at as negative? Number two, quickly, trust God and your name will be remembered positively, or don't trust God and your name will be forgotten. Boy, that sounds pretty tough, Brother Korea. Our name will be forgotten. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. I want to read you one verse here. Proverbs chapter number 10. Trust God and your name will be remembered positively. Don't trust God, your name will be forgotten. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 7. The Bible says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Can you imagine that? The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You know, many people want to be remembered in a positive way. You know, when I'm going, I want to be remembered as a positive way, but positive in God's, in God's eyes as well. You know, I think about people that over the years, I've been part of Berean since 1992, and I think about the people that were here and who are not here anymore. And I have good memories of them, just excellent memories. And I'm not going to mention names because I'm going to forget somebody, and I won't do that. But I'm going to mention a name in a little bit, but just one name. But many of you will know. Some of you may not know. But you know, I think about the people from Berean, how they've gone off to heaven, and other people as well. But I have blessed memories of them. You know, how many of you remember Bob Jenkins? How many remember Bob Jenkins? You know, when you think about Bob Jenkins, what do you think about? Bus, right? I think about Mr. Bus. That's what I think about when I think of Bob Jenkins. He just was a man who was faithful, and he would do what he could. And you know, all the way up to, I don't know how old he was when he passed, when he went to heaven. But, you know, when I think about Bob Jenkins, I think about Mr. Bus. That's what I think of. And you know what? What a memory to have. What a memory to think about when I think about someone to just a positive memory. But, you know, I also know people that have passed on, not from people from Berean, but I know people have passed on who had nobody or had very few people come to their funeral. Wouldn't that be sad? I mean, I know people in the last several years that passed away that I know nobody went to their funeral, not one person. How sad would that be? How sad would that be? You know, but once again, what are we doing with God's name? What are we doing with the name of Christian that God has placed upon us, that God's adopted us into his family, and we have the name of Christian, of Christ, that we carry around everywhere we go. And number three, quickly, last thing I'll mention is this. God will not honor the reputation of those that did not honor him. God will not honor the reputation of those that did not honor him. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 9. Just I guess we're right there, aren't we? Psalm chapter number 9. Verse number 5. The Bible says, "Thou hast rebuked the heathen, and thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put their name, thou hast put out their name forever and ever." Boy, that sounds tough too. That sounds pretty harsh, Brother Korea, doesn't it? But that's what Scripture says. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, and thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. You know, when I read that verse, I thought of one man that I knew as I was growing up. It was a man not too far away from where we grew up. And as kids, I had two sisters living there in the house as well. And I had a neighbor, a boy, and a couple guys down the street that, you know, we kind of did things in the summer and rode our bikes and sledded in the winter and just did that kind of stuff. Just were friends. And I remember in the summertime, we would just go messing around. We grew up very poor out there in the country. And I remember we would go to this man's house. We didn't bug him. We didn't peek in the windows. We weren't a pester to him or anything like that. But boy, if you were on his property, he would get after you. He'd come after you with a rake, or he'd come after you with a shovel, you know, and he'd scare you to death. And it just was a mean man and was a wicked man. Later we learned that he was a very wicked, wicked man. And I remember we would go to his yard and he had a couple pear trees, and we'd go and try and get a couple pears, you know, and run off with them. He was watching for people to just step. Maybe he had an alarm or something. And if you stepped on his property, boy, he knew it. And he was after you. And boy, you hardly could ever get away with being on his property and without him knowing about it. And boy, he would come after you. But boy, we kind of left him alone, though, because we knew he was cranky, and and I remember one time he actually caught my sister, and he actually hit her, and I just couldn't believe that he did that. But boy, just a wicked, wicked man, I learned about later, you know. And probably about 6 months ago, I drove by there where he lived, and you know, as you drive by right now, you can't even tell that someone lived there. The house is gone. The shed that was there, he kept chickens in, that's gone. The couple pear trees that were up front, they're gone. Driveway's gone. Everything's gone. And if you drove by, nobody would even know that a man ever lived there. He never had a wife, never had children, never had brothers or sisters. And he died alone and all forgotten, except for maybe those few people who live around there. They might remember him like I do, but I remember him as a bad man. I remember him as a wicked man. You know, I'm going to read you another verse. You don't have to turn there. Romans 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Render therefore unto, I won't read it all, render therefore to all their dues, honor to whom honor." You know, the Lord will honor your reputation when you stand before him. If you trust him and you follow him, you know, ladies. Let me just talk to you for a minute. You guys can listen to as well. Sometimes I hear these kind of things where people say, "Boy, I just can't figure out my wife wants." You know, I just can't figure out. One day she's like this, and one day she's like that. I mean, am I ever going to figure it out? And men, we all know that. That's not going to happen. Amen. We're not going to figure out. You're not going to figure out your wife because they're a different creature. They're made different. They're wired differently. But I'm going to tell you, ladies, right now, what a man wants. You want to know the number one thing that a man wants out of the relationship, out of a marriage, or whatever. I mean, the number one thing a man wants, it is not money. The number one thing a man wants in life is not position. The number one thing a man wants is not power. The number one thing a man wants is not a big house. But the number one thing that a man wants out of life is honor. He wants to be honored. He wants his wife to honor him. You know, the Bible says that we should honor our parents. And I think that's right. I remember when we were going through Bible college, my wife, I owned a little home there, like I said, in Maryville, a little yellow house. And I remember I'd come home. Many times I worked 10, 12, 14 hours, and I'd come home, and I'd call my wife on my way home, and I'd say, honey, I'm coming home. I should be home in about 40 minutes. She'd say, okay. And she'd get off the phone, and she'd get the kids together. She'd get Joshua and get Kendall, and Suzanne was just little at the time, and so she just was probably just sitting around, maybe just in a baby swing or something, and so she just didn't get to do anything. But she'd tell the other two kids, Dad's coming home. He's going to be home in 40 minutes. We've got to get ready, get the house ready. Kids, pick up the toys and straighten up the pillows on the sofa there, and I've got dinner already going, and she just would get everything around. She would get the house ready, and she'd get a can going and some music playing a little bit just in the background there, and just get things ready, and she say, all right, kids, go to the door, go to the window there and look out the window, let me know when Dad shows up, he's going to be home in 15 minutes, and let's do this and let's do that, and let's just get the house ready because Dad's coming home. And she would hype the kids up, and she would get them excited about it because Dad's coming home. And he's going to be home in 5 minutes, and stand over by the window there and watch. And when he comes in, let me know. And my wife would get out the vacuum cleaner, and she would vacuum the living room there. And you know how you ladies do. Well, you vacuum, and if you do it right, you know, you leave these lines in the carpet. You know what I mean? And my wife would do it like this, like little triangles. And these little triangles would wind up in the carpet. And I always liked that. I like that it's triangles. I didn't demand it like, woman, you better put those triangles in the carpet. I didn't do that to her at all. But I would say, I said, boy, I like it when I see that. And so about 10 minutes before I got home, every day she would take the vacuum and she'd vacuum the carpet and make those triangles and go through the whole thing, and all the way down the hallway she'd do it. And then she'd put the vacuum away and she'd stand in the kitchen and she'd wait until the kids are standing at the door or at the window and they're watching for Dad. And I'd pull in the driveway in my old beater work car, and I'd get out and I'd be dirty and I'd be dusty and I'd be tired and I might not have had a good day, and I had it was a difficult day. And I look at the window there and the kids are just jumping up and down like that, and they're excited and the curtains are moving and they're happy. They're saying, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And they would be excited and just thrilled about it. And my wife would come to the door and she'd look nice. She'd have a nice outfit on. She'd have her hair done. And she'd say, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And the kids would be jumping up and down. And I'd go inside the house and she'd give me a hug and give me a kiss. And my son would grab this leg and hug me, and my other daughter would grab this leg and hug me. And Suzanne would still be swinging in the swing there. And she just would welcome me home and say, how was your day? And I would forget all about my day. I'd forget all about the troubles. It could be the worst day that I've ever had. Well, what is all that? What is all that hype? What is all that get the house ready? What is all this making lines on the carpet for? It's honoring her husband. She honored me. And you know, after if a woman did that, my wife does that for me all the time. She just still does that stuff for me. But, you know, I'll do anything for her. I'll do anything because she honors me. You know, ladies, if you want your husband to finish that honey-do list, honor him. Honor him. You don't know my husband. I know I don't know your husband, but honor him. Because, you know, one day we'll get to heaven, and we'll get to the pearly gates, and there'll be people there. They'll be jumping up and down. They'll say, welcome home, welcome home. I'm so glad you're here. And you'll come in, and you'll stand before God, and God will honor you with your name. And he'll read your name. And I hope to hear, Elias Correa, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's honoring you. God will honor your name if you honor him. And I'd ask you today, what are you doing with the name of Jesus Christ? What are you doing with the name of Christ, the name of Christian, that title that you have, you proudly get to wear? God wants you to honor him, and he'll honor you.